everybody. How are you? It's still a nice day out there, isn't it? It's getting warm. Man, let me tell you, it was warm over there in Sunday school. Phew! It's nice and cool in here. But we're going to start today with page 11. And let's stand, please.
Oh, worship the King, glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, the brilliant in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep under clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm.
Verse 3 is the last.
Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew in the rain.
That's right. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day that You give us. The opportunity, Lord, to come here to worship You. Thank You for this song, Lord. Help us to understand the great, powerful God that You are, Lord. It's so hard to see and visualize. But Lord, it's there before us every day in Your creation and the many, many things that You do for us, Lord. Lord, You're always talking to us, but few of us are listening, Lord. Everybody thinks that you got to talk face to face, but Lord, you reserve the right to talk to us the way that You do. Help us, Lord, to listen for that small voice. Help us to know when You are. Help us, Lord, to include You in our lives always, Lord, to remember that You even care about the littlest of things in our lives. Thank You for that. Thank You for who You are. Today, Lord, I just ask that You guide and direct my pastor as he's about ready to speak. Guide him, Lord. Direct him. Lord, make him dynamite today, Lord. I pray that Your message might speak to folks here today, that they'd listen, they'd understand, they'd see it in Your word, and Lord, they might apply it to their lives. Lord, if someone needs You today, Lord, I pray that person get right with You before they leave the building today. Thank You for this time, Lord. Thank You for all that showed up. Thank You for my church family, Lord, and what they mean to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's see where we at here. 624, please. 624.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings now. they see what God had done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
Verse 3 is the last.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, God had done. Count your blessings, your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thank you. Okay, announcements. 6 o'clock tonight's our evening service. Make sure you stick around for that, folks. More classic passages in John 1. Pastor's going to be gone Monday through the 25th. So if you need him for anything, it's too bad. Yeah. But we'll get there. Women's Bible study, June 18th at 6. Please check with Sandra on the location. Personal evangelism is on the 25th. Men's Bible study is on the 29th. The Wilton Bible study is the 27th. Pastor Erickson is going to be here for Sunday morning service. He's also taking care of the Moscow service down there. And let's see, we have Bible study, Inspired Nursing Home in Muscatine, the 20th and the 2nd. Marlon's going to lead that. If there are any ladies that would like to attend and help out in that, you are more than welcome to do so. You can talk to Marlon about that and get that straightened out. And let's see. Pastor's Thought of the Week. Dads, they make the difference, okay? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to recognize fathers today, Lord, especially our Heavenly Father, but our earthly fathers, Lord, and all that they've done for us. Lord, your word is just full of the way a father should act and be, and bringing up children, work, Lord, and especially participate in God's house, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember those examples and to use them each and every day, Lord, and remember the love that we had for our fathers and they for us, Lord. Thank you for this time. Be with Pastor now as he's about to speak. And be with us as we take up this offering, Lord. Just be with the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see, 638, please. 638.
Of our fathers.
Thank you. Kim's going to play.
Building, and so it sounded so beautiful in there, you know, with just those few voices. That I played my flute that day because I thought, well, it's going to sound so much better in there. But it doesn't make a difference because I can't play anywhere. So, but it was when I looked in scripture for what behold means. There's over 80 scriptures in the Bible that talk about beholding God, and we can't even imagine in our human thinking what it's going to be like when we behold Him, see Him. And the scripture that I want to share with you is in Revelation, and it takes place at the throne of God, which is going to be just amazing when you think about that, standing before God. But it says in verse 4, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. We're going to see God, and we're going to know Him. We're going to behold Him, and we're going to know Him. But the special thing about this scripture, this passage, is that He's going to know us. If we have trusted in Jesus our Savior, when we behold Him, He also will behold us. And what an awesome time and experience that's going to be, standing before the throne of God. Scary, but so exciting. So I am going to play Come and Behold Him for you this morning.
But first thing is good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus.
Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus.
Hey, we ought to be excited today about what God is doing and what He may do, even in our lives and the lives of those around us, the opportunities that we may have this day. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. That old hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. You know, a lot of times I wondered when I was a kid, well, is this talking about my dad? Well, it could be. But what it's really talking about are those that have gone before us as fathers of the faith. And so this morning I think about all the biblical characters that stood up for Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul. He's one of my fathers in the faith. You may have favorite characters that were mentioned in Scripture, but you also may have an earthly father or grandfather or a fatherly mentor in your life that has helped you to grow in Jesus Christ, or maybe a pastor or other spiritual leader that has stood for that. Today is a great day to recognize and honor that. But more than that, what are you today doing as fathers, and for that matter, mothers, to be a spiritual father to those that come after you? Not only to your children, grandchildren, but others that may look up to you, others that may not have a fatherly figure in their life. What we need to see in men today and in women is Jesus. They need to set the example and that people would see a little bit of Jesus in our lives. Anyway, welcome on Father's Day. It's good to see a nice turnout today. Obviously, summer gets sketchy, doesn't it? And I know that Kim and I will be gone here in the upcoming week. We trust that you'll have a good week, and the deacons and Pastor Erickson will be feeding the flock. But we will be praying for you, and I ask that you pray for us as well, that we get refreshed. It's not really a vacation. It's more like a working vacation, but it's a change of pace. And God has given me and Kim and me is the proper grammar. He's placed some fantastic things in our pathway where we're going to be able to minister to people. And also it's included with some secular things that we might enjoy, but an opportunity to speak for Jesus. And so we're excited about that. I'm also a little scared. Anytime you get up before people and speak or have a responsibility, that's always a little bit of a scary thing. So be in prayer for that. I will be praying for you folks as well. If there are critical needs that come up, you can always call me. I'm glad to talk with you, but it probably will not be likely that I would make a return trip during this week. So anyway, what else was I going to say this morning? Did we get the votes counted? I really think we're going to have to get a computerized system here. We don't want to have any hanging chads or any problems with the ballots, but it seems like we have a terrible time here getting those kind of things computed. Today is simply a Father's Day message, and what it consists of are six examples of God, our Father in heaven, and what He sets as an example for us, and this is directed chiefly towards earthly fathers here today, but mothers, where it applies, you also will see some of these principles that you can hold your husband and the father of your children accountable for as well in a loving way. And do we have some results yet, guys? 22nd. All right, make sure that Deb gets that and calls the city hall this week. Okay. And what it is an outdoor service we plan for that morning. We will not have Sunday school that day. We'll probably have a modified morning service. It may last a little longer than usual. Okay, so down at the shelter house at the park, rain or shine. All right. So your input and ideas for that are certainly welcome. Musicians, whatever we need to do, but we need to have a presence here in town that people can see. I've mentioned a lot lately to some of you here at Fruitland, we need to be turned inside out. And by the way, that is beneficial for Fruitland as well, for the church here, because, you know, sometimes when we turn what's inside out and air it, we know that there are things that need changed. But we need to let our community see us. We are not to be hidden behind these walls. The building is not the church. People, the believers, make up and the consistency of the church. And so these are things that we need to keep in mind. We need to be exposed more to those around us. If nothing else that day when we meet down there, just like when we had ice cream, people are going to say, why are all these cars here this morning? Because you and I both know that people that drive by wonder, who's there today? Well,
Hopefully that day, if the Lord tarries, it'll be fruitless. There's something else important I think I had, but if it comes back, we'll have to stop. I interrupt Kim a lot anymore. I say, if I don't tell you now, I may forget it again. So anyway, it's good to see all of you today and as we gather around the Word of God. Well, to begin with today, we're going to take a time of prayer. And again, personal prayer first and bring our hearts before the throne, prepare us for the message. But also, most importantly, that we give God His due today. And we know that God exists. Two C's that you can always remember, the conscience and the creation. We don't have to even hear the word. We know that God exists and that He is an awesome God. So let's let Him know that today, and then we'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running, because I know Father's Day is very important to many people, and there's probably a lot of gatherings and events. So shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, what a wonderful phrase that is. Lord, we know that You as God the Father, who wants to be the Lord of our lives, has again approached mankind in our broken and sinful makeup through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in grace and mercy. We thank You for love that You so abundantly shed upon us. We know this, Lord, that You love humanity, even in spite of our brokenness. And so what a Father You are. Lord, You're the example, once again, for humanity, and especially fathers in humanity. It's what we ought to be held accountable for, Lord, because You are perfection. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be thinking along those lines today, even with the short few things that are presented here, that these attributes come from You. And we know, Lord, there's more than 40 attributes in the Bible that show Your perfection and holiness. Oh, Lord, impart to that to fathers, I pray. Lord, we can concede before Your throne today that fatherhood and motherhood and institutions that You have endorsed are under extreme fire today, Lord, and attack. And the wicked one, the evil one, is there to try to destroy. I pray today, Lord, that You would repair, that You would restore rather than destroy, and that there be reconciliation that's affordable through Your Son, Jesus, towards people and their attitude toward You and toward one another. I thank You that You have set the example of forgiveness, O Lord, and help us, Lord, to be ready to forgive and to again leave these things at the foot of the cross. So, Lord, I pray to that end today. Pray for fathers here today, fathers that are not here today. And Lord, what a serious situation we face, not only in our land, but in our world. I thank You too, Father, that we can crawl up in Your lap because of the work of Your Son, Jesus, and we can say to You, my Daddy, Abba, Father. Thank You that we have that relationship. None of us had that perfection in our earthly fathers to a total extent. Some have had none. But You are there, Lord, to wrap Your loving arms around us. Now, Lord, we pray today for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we know that the believer is indwelt by the Spirit, but, Lord, I believe if we take an objective look at our fuel tanks today, the spiritual level, they run low. Maybe some, even in this room, are in danger, Lord, of running out of fuel. They've quenched the Spirit. But I pray today You'll fill us with the Spirit, Lord, that You'll convict the hearts that need change, that they won't leave here without making that change. Lord, that You'd put us on our knees before You put us on our backs. And I think there's a lot of people, Lord, that have been placed on their backs, but they still shake an angry fist at You and say, I will not. I pray today, Lord, for hearts that will say, I will. Now, Lord, we do pray for our flock here at Fruitland. Many people not here, some traveling. I have no idea where people are, Lord. You do. And You're the great shepherd. You'll have to watch after Your flock, Lord. But I also pray for this community outside of these walls that, again, Lord, we'd be turned inside out, that we would have, again, reality exposed to people around us, that they might see love that comes from this church. So I pray for those opportunities, Lord, and that we would take them. But I pray for the souls of Fruitland and all the surrounding community, Muscatine, Wilton, whatever the case may be. Grandview, we have people that are connected here from all over this area. I pray, Lord, you bind us together. Help us to see that the gathering has great value. Now, Lord, I also pray for those that are in need in various ways, illness, grief, distress, all kinds of things that affect the human experience. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct in those situations today. Now, Lord, as we look into this message, I pray that you'll help me, that you'll give me Holy Spirit upholding and empowerment, Lord, to bring the message, that it will have an effect on the hearer. Lord, I admit to you, and you know it, I'm the weak link in the chain. I need your help. I am feeble, I am frail, but Lord, I am willing. And so that's all I can offer you today, Lord, as we go into this time of investigation in the Word. And again, thinking about 6 points that will be of great value to a father. Lord, may you be in our presence today. I ask these things now and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, by the way, welcome to anyone that's here that's visiting too. I don't know if we have a visitor today, but everyone is welcome here. But happy Father's Day, if it applies to you, all right? And enjoy the perks of the day when you can, because, well, I was going to say, because sometimes they're few and far between. It must just be me, Kim. I don't know. Yeah, if someone wants to buy you a steak today or wants to give you a card or a gift or say, thanks, Dad, humbly say, you're welcome. I what? I enjoy doing it. We know that fatherhood's not easy, is it? You think God the Father has an easy time of it dealing with us? You know he doesn't. But take the perks when they're offered. And again, the role of a godly father is the ultimate test before God and your families. So guys, you're not off the hook. And I think that's one of the biggest troubles that we see in our culture today. It's broken families, broken fatherhood, broken motherhood, broken children. And a lot of it can be traced back to fathers, and we are not off the hook. You can run from God, but you can't hide. And the effects of your relationship, either positively or negatively with God, will have results in your offspring and in those around you, and you better not ever forget it. You can't pull the wool over on God's eyes, and I'll tell you what, you won't pull the wool over on anyone that's been informed from the Word's eyes either. When I see a broken family, I see a broken father or mother or both. When I see disaster, you know, as I sub in the public schools, let me tell you something, folks. Our children of today live in a devastated era. Some of them dread summer vacation because they don't know what will take place in their homes, if they even have a home, or who they're going to be passed around to from one day or one week to the next. I'll tell you what, fathers need to be shaken. And I'll say like Dr. Laura, some of you don't even remember her, fathers are more than sperm donors. There's a whole lot more that goes with it. You're looking at an imperfect father up here. And I'm willing to share all that with you, and if you don't want to hear it from me, you can ask the people that I've been a father to. But I can point right back and say none of you have been perfect either. And there's room for improvement. And as God still gives us breath, there's time we can change. Amen? Amen. And that's what this is all about today. Something is better than nothing. Getting it before it's too late is better than not getting it. And by the way, the Bible talks about a subject called forgiveness. And let me just say this today. There's all kinds of relationships that have bricked up the blame game and all this with fathers, with mothers, with children, with the church, with other Christians, other people. Today, like Ronnie Reagan said, tear down the wall. Remember that when he told Gorbachev? Yes. Who cares? If you care, tear down the wall. Forgive. By the way, everyone has a road to hoe. And none of this is easy for anyone. Don't let anyone tell you that. But today's the day to fix it. Before what? Come on. Loosen your ties or something before it's too late. Because you know what? There's been a lot of situations that have gone over the cliff. They can't retrieve them because it's too late. But for everyone that's alive in this room today, it's not too late. Now, I better go back to the text here. This preaching stuff gets you in trouble. At least with the clock. But here it is, folks. The Bible is loaded with examples of good fathers and bad fathers. You know who came to my mind this morning and when I was writing this the other day? Eli. That big dummy. He was even a religious leader, a high priest. Remember that? Remember the boys? Remember their names? Kim tried to name our boys this, and I said, it ain't going to happen. Hophni and Phinehas. No, Kim didn't. That was a lie, Lord, and you know it, but I'm having a little fun here. What did Hophni and Phinehas do? Eli's the priest, and the boys are the crookedest people, the most sinful people of the whole works there. You can read about all this. Lonnie, you know, yeah. Cheating people on the meat. Relationships with prostitutes at the temple. And Eli did what? Zippo. But you know what? Hannah dedicated her son, Samuel, to the Lord. And so Eli, as the priest, has little Samuel there. At Moscow this morning, we sang, "Here I am, Lord." Samuel, God's working his heart. But bottom line with old Eli, it says in the translations, he was a big man. He was a fat man. He's sitting on a log, and all this went on. You know how God took him? When there was a news of an attack and so forth that came along, he fell over on the log and died. I get the idea he couldn't get himself back up. He was so big. Jose, I even saw a little chuckle out of you on that. He was a bad father, folks, but there's some good ones in the Bible too. And that's, we can learn from all of them, just like we can learn from anything. Anyway, we can learn from both. So if you had a bad father, buck it up. He's a good teacher of what not to do. And if you had a good father, be thankful. Because I'll tell you what, you're two strikes ahead in the game. It's a good thing. Or two hits, I should say, ahead in the game. We can learn from both. Honor your father today, whether they're good, bad, or mediocre. None of us would be here without our fathers. You owe them something. Okay? There is only one perfect father, though, and that is God the Father, and that is the only one that's perfect. So why not use his examples as our own pattern the best we can? I mentioned in the prayer over 40 attributes of God the Father. He's perfect. No earthly father is perfect. But we have a pattern in God the Father. This morning, 6 goals for earthly fathers in the pattern of our Heavenly Father. Consider as we go through these, the following questions as I go through these. But this is the base question I want you to think about today. Especially fathers, but applies to moms too. But does your family see evidence of God in you? Does your family see evidence of God in you? That's a sobering thought. All right, so here we go, the first one. You have some blanks there, right, this morning? And I slipped up and didn't even bring those up. I had to send Jason down to get them. I'm slipping up more and more. But here it is. Fathers need to love their families. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 to begin with this morning. We're going to have to rock and roll through this quickly this morning. But here's the bottom line, folks. We know that we need to love God. That's the first thing. And we need to love one another. And in the family situation, husbands need to love their wives. And by the way, I believe God ordained this, and I'm not afraid to speak it. God ordained for there to be a mother and a father in the home unless that's divinely hindered in some way through death. And they need to be a union of two people where there is a commitment. And folks, that is marriage. Marriage is not when you come for a big ceremony and all that. Marriage is when a husband and wife say, "I'm committed till death us do part." The reason we have a celebration, it is a reason to celebrate, but it's also a public testimony. When I married the pretty lady 46 years ago, I took that commitment through thick and thin. I'll let her evaluate how thick and thin things have been. But I still love her. I still think she's a knockout to look at every day. Never been sorry to be around her. Oh, maybe there's been a time or two, but no. No. We've had interesting life. Really have. God bless life. You know, there's many reasons that we couldn't have made it. But God saw fit that we did. But folks, what I'm telling you today is that when we have been born again in Jesus Christ, there is a picture between ourselves as Christ and the church of Jesus as the groom and the wife as the bride. And this union that's being talked about there is exemplified because Jesus loves his bride. And the admonition that's given here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 35, excuse me, verse 25, is that husbands ought to love, that's agapao in the Greek, love their wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, and notice here, Christ gave himself for the church. A husband must be a giver. A father must be a giver in Christ. You see, if this relationship is broken, it causes people to not be able to see God through their fathers. And folks, that's what we have going on around us. But fathers and husbands are to love their wives. It's the pattern that's set. And as you read through this, you'll see that exemplified. But that's the thing. They not only need to love their wives, but they need to love their children. Because children are a gift from God. There's not one person in here, and I'll call you a liar to your face if you say my kids are perfect. Someone try me on it. But folks, it is not easy, and our children are rebellious. Our children are a lot like we are. As I've said many times, when I see some of our children, all of our children at points, I say, yep, there's John. It's that story, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Or there's their mom. We'll be fair about this morning. Usually the good qualities from mom. But see, folks, if this pattern gets disrupted, and this is what Satan wants, he wants chaos. He wants to see people, you know what, the 95% of the people don't even understand the things we're talking about here today. 95% of the population today knows nothing about the accounts that are found in the Bible. They believe the Bible has no value. They have no idea what's going on in life. They're lost. They believe what the intelligentsia tells them. Well, folks, it's wrong. And this order that God has created, fathers have a vital role in loving, in loving. Now, I can't preach all of this morning, obviously, so we got to cut some corners. But just look over in chapter 6 and verse 4. And again, these mandates that are given in 1 through 3 are given by God. Obey your parents and the Lord. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise that you'll what? Have a long life. People say, no, I think it's in the food we eat. It's how we handle ourselves with our parents. But look at 4, and ye fathers, specific here to the fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. What I mean by that is with unnecessary things. Don't be a whack job raising your children. Realize how you are. And realize that they have feelings. They are little souls or big souls wherever they are in life. You have to love them unconditionally. If your adult child disagrees with you, what does that mean? That you have a battle with them every time? I'll tell you how I do it. I leave it in God's hands. I did what I could. That day is over for me when my children are young. But you know what? Even as they're old and as I have grandchildren, I still have an opportunity. And don't make them mad over stupid things. But let the Heavenly Father deal with them. Pray for your children, but love your children. But here it is. Fathers, you're responsible for your children. Well, no, my wife's more... No, but you're responsible for your wife, too, and how this all turns out. By the way, support your wife. When kids are young, they need us all the time, but they need their mom, but they need their dad. And I'll tell you, when kids really need their dads, when they get in their teen years and beyond. I've become much more intelligent in the last 10 years. You'll find that too, and some of you already have. And you fathers, don't provoke your children. but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're the teacher. You're responsible. Whether you do all of it is not the case here, or the question, but it's you're the one that's responsible for it. Anyway, Psalm 103:13. We got to go. You know what? We got bogged down at Moscow today. It's going to be a rerun, and that might happen here, but I'll try not to. A partial rerun. Psalm 103 and verse 13. And let me tell you, the Bible's loaded. But this is a picture of God. See, he's the perfect example. That's the point of this. God loves his children. He's a loving heavenly father. Like as a father pitieth or has concern and love for his children, more than just love, it's a what? A deep-rooted desire to care for them because they're having struggles. See? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Fear them. Fear him. Yes, fear him. Fathers, the message in this for you and for me is what? When we come to respect what God means and what he says, it will have an impact on our children. If it's done in what? In love. In love. And that is why, again, we're called to be examples. 1 John 3:1, quickly. 1 John 3:1. Whoops. 1 John 3:1. Behold, Kim, behold. See. Investigate. Look. Experience. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Folks, if you're here today under the blood of Jesus Christ, you've experienced in part the love of God the Father in your life. And you will experience it to its fullest extent in your walk with him as you will let it and allow it to be happen. Folks, I want to tell you today, we are all wealthy today because of the inheritance that has been granted to us undeservingly by God the Father. Don't worry when the lawyer calls you and said you've been named in a will. You already know. You're in God's will. And he's already handed you a lot of the gift, but there's even more to come. See? God loves us. Fathers, do you love your children in that same stead? Are you willing to do and give everything for them? But sadly, what we see in our world more and more today is it's all about me first. You should have brought me a gift today for Father's Day because I deserve it. Don't have that attitude. Keep loving your kids. And if they don't give you a gift, God already gave you a gift when he gave you them. They're the olive plants around the table. That's my response today. Well, you're one of the plants, so get to going. Fathers need to love their families. Point two, got to go. Fathers need to lead their families. Fathers need to lead their families. God leads us if we'll submit to him. God is willing to lead us. He will lead us. He's the example, once again, that's set here. This is where I got bogged down at Moscow this morning. We had some questions, and that's how we operate there. It's not quite like at Fruitland. But let's go to Joshua 24:15. Joshua judges Ruth, 24:15. Probably some of you have this up on your wall. I've seen it at our house, and it hits me between the eyes every time. But basically what Joshua is saying now to all the Israelites and to his family in particular, he's stressing, and you can look at all this, he's stressing how God laid all this out, what God had done. And there was a juncture there because Joshua was going to go off the scene as the leader of Israel. And they had pretty good times under Joshua. Wouldn't you like to serve under a leader like Joshua? Oh, Lord, if you'd deliver us someone like that today. Old Joshua and Caleb, you think about that, you know, these are pioneers in the faith. They're fathers in the faith. See, that's what we sang about here earlier this morning. But when it comes right down to it, as Joshua talks about all these things, He comes down to the end of this here in verse 13. He's talking about the in verse 13, and he says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not. Do you eat? Meaning what? God has been what? Very good to you and us. By the way, today God has been good to people too, but we're a few generations, I think, away from most people that will acknowledge what God has done. Sadly. He goes on. Joshua says, he's getting ready to die here. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. That's the message here today. Fathers, lead your families. Like Joshua tried to do and like he did with the nation of Israel. And here it is, folks. It's the classic verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Joshua's putting it right on the line. He says, you better make a choice today. You want me to tell you where we're at today? Many people know that they should serve the Lord. Many fathers know they should be dedicated to the Lord, but they still want to serve the flesh. But he says this, quit dealing with this and make your choice. And I've said this so many times from this pulpit, you're either for God or against God. There's no neutral in his gearbox. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with little g, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. By the way, they were there because God allowed them to be there. But Joshua puts it very plainly here. You know what he says. And this is what fathers need to do. You need to get it straightened out. You need to have a definitive movement in your life and in those you're responsible for, because Joshua says what here? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Folks, have fathers that are here this morning and families, has that been the case in your home? We're going to do it God's way or no way. And have you told the ramifications to your children or those around you of what happens? And the story goes on here, but it's not a story, it's an account. And what happened to Israel? Well, it's pretty plain. They didn't do what Joshua said. And they paid a tremendous price. Folks, the price that's out there today because of the havoc that fathers and mothers both have created is undetermined in its extent and unpayable. Yet Jesus paid for that at the cross if we'll bring it to him and ask him to forgive us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Point three, right? Fathers need to impart wisdom to their families. Sadly, I think fathers in many cases, they provide wisdom, but it's the what? The wrong kind. The wisdom of God. I should have put that in there. Fathers need to impart wisdom to their families, the wisdom of God. Go back to Deuteronomy. Well, yeah. We already read Ephesians 6:4 is just one. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. By the way, that doesn't guarantee, well, let me just say this. That verse essentially says how you train your children is how they'll turn out. That's what it says. But the implication is to train them for the Lord, and that'll come to pass. And many of us that have had kids for a while, and they've become adults and maybe even middle-aged adults, we know in some cases, and even if they haven't totally, they do come back to see those fundamental things before it's too late. But I'd like us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 just briefly here this morning. I can't give you all the verses of the Bible, again, that are there, but you can take time and study just like I have. Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And here's the instructions for Israel that God gave about training their children. I got to just pick out a few highlights in this. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And these are the statutes, again, and teaching, God is telling Israel how to teach them about the God of the Bible. Hear, O Israel, Lord is one Lord. the theological basis of the God of Israel. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thy eyes shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them great and godly cities, which thou buildest not." But here's the bottom line. It's a Latin term. Sits in Laban. Fathers and mothers, the way we instruct our children in the things of God is how we walk through life. Sits in Laban means sitting in life. Your children are not going to learn when you necessarily read them Bible verses or do these. Your children and my children are going to learn by what they see in you and I and how we conduct ourselves before the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, my children have not always seen the right things. And I'm here to tell you this morning, they have not always seen the right things in you. But the goal here that's directed from God the Father is what? That we impart wisdom, that we teach these things, not only in the spoken word, in the reference into what God's word says, but that we live these things before our children. That's what makes the difference. You know, my dad said thus and so, but he didn't live it, so he doesn't believe it either. But if you say thus and so, you better live what you believe. Otherwise, I think I can't remember where I said it, maybe in Moscow. Otherwise, you're a mask wearer. And the Greek word for that is hypocrite. Your kids will not learn anything from your hypocrisy, but that you are a hypocrite. By the way, we are all hypocrites. We all do wear masks at times. But like Ronnie Reagan with the wall, tear off the mask. That's my quote you can give today. Be real. Tell them. Tell them the struggles you go through, especially when they're older. I don't want to pick on Mark, but you know, there was a while there, I think he had it all figured out. And he'll hear this on tape and I'll catch it for it. I won't get my Father's Day gift. No. But Mark admitted to me a few years ago, he said, "Dad, I never thought it was that way, but you know, it's hard to raise a family." I said, "You big dummy, I told you this." Anyway, fathers need to impart wisdom. Point four, fathers need to correct their families. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of fathers that need corrected, including me. You can't correct your family if you are not corrected yourself and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. By the way, it's the word discipline. It's the Greek word orthos. It means to set straight or mend a broken bone. We need to get our bones set straight, fathers. Big stuff. Fathers need to correct their families. Fathers need to lovingly, remember that was the first category? Lovingly correct their families. Now you all know from hearing me over the years, yes, we had correction in our home. No, I rarely like to use any corporal punishment. To this day, when I see a child disciplined that way, it hurts my heart. I had to do it a few times, not many. And it bothers me, but folks, it's biblical. Not to beat your children, but to correct your children. Proverbs 13:24 says the following. By the way, I'm not getting everything said I want to this morning. Proverbs 13 and 24, I believe. I got to check my notes here. Yes, 13:24. Fathers, I just want us to understand this. This is your responsibility. It is your privilege before God. Don't say, "Wait till your mother comes home." It's not the mom's responsibility to be the chief person, although she may step instead when Pop isn't there. 13:24, didn't I say? No. Did I say that? Oh, I'm in chapter 14. Here it is. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes," it says in the King James Version. It means ahead of time. In other words, proactive discipline. The rod has a lot of different definitions. There is a time that the Bible allows for that there may need to be corporal punishment, but my friends, the rod can consist of many things to help us keep the broken bone mended. Okay? And fathers, that is your responsibility. Now, I want to do one last turn here, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We probably could all quote it, but let's take a look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. And this is the main thing here, folks. Don't correct your children out of your anger. Don't correct your children because of what you think ought to be done to them, but correct our children in what God has to say about things. And what I'm talking about here is the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3, hey, wait a minute. Didn't I say, yeah, see, now how did you let, I need correction, Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Why am I doing this today? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for... So you see, the bottom line here is what we do and when we need to do corrections, they need to be from the Word of God. But let me just say this, fathers today here, fathers to be, and by the way, if you're a father to be, you're a father. Have you been corrected by the Word of God before you start to correct your children? But there it is, in a nutshell. We're responsible to correct our children with love under the emphasis of the rod of the Word. Okay? And by the way, that's what God will still use to correct us, sometimes in multiple ways to get our attention. Point five, or point four. Five. Lord, help me. Point five. Fathers need to be the examples of forgiveness to their families. I won't go to Luke 15 because we're short on time, but what's Luke 15 about? The prodigal son. How did the father operate in that? You've got a little bratty kid that says, give me my inheritance. By the way, this is a picture of ourselves in Christ and God the Father. He says, give me my inheritance. What did his loving father do? He had the freedom to love him and say, okay. Why do you think the father did that? Did he know what was going to happen? Yes, he did. But he knew that God the Father could discipline his son better than what he could by saying, I'm not giving you that inheritance. It's not time yet. You're not mature enough to handle it. And we need to remember that, fathers, with our children. God the Father will time it perfectly. Now tell me the account of how this transpires. Pretty soon, he goes through the inheritance. Nothing's left. He's eaten worse than the pigs. And somehow, God puts in his mind, through the Holy Spirit here again, you didn't have it too bad there, where you were at. Now, we know the older brother wasn't too pleased, and we could digress into all that too. But the bottom line is, what did his father do when he saw him coming down the road? Did he say that? No good kid, I'll never have anything more to do. What did he do? How do you think God sees us? He says, I forgive you. Because we asked for it. And he did not hold any restraint, but he forgave with joy. Folks, there's people with walls bricked up all over the place today, or cement blocks, or you choose whatever you want. But there's broken families, broken relationships. The bricks are being set. There's probably people in this room that are mad at other people. Maybe your kids are mad at you. Maybe there's all kinds of, maybe we're mad at each other in the church. The walls are bricked. Again, like Ronnie Reagan, tear down the wall, forgive today. Why would you want to have that relationship broken with a father, a mother, a brother, a fellow believer in Christ, or whatever the case may be? But do it the way Jesus did. He says, I forgive you. It's over. Let's move on. Happy Father's Day. You think there's any dads out there that would like to say that? Please forgive me for how poor of a father I was. And do you think there's any children that would like to say to their father? You know, Kim still got her dad. But Grandpa Ron, by the way, I always tell him you're a great mentor. He was. He's a good dad that way. Wasn't he, Kim? Yeah. See, I get all teary-eyed anymore about stuff, but folks, today's the day to let this stuff go. Fathers need to be examples of forgiveness to their families. And my mom's favorite verse, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Last point. It's time to go, right? Fathers need to provide for their families. As I said earlier, old Dr. Laura Schlesinger, well, she called it Schlesinger, but you listen to her, Kay? I would have never thought it. Oh, no. she had a lot of good stuff, though. I used to listen to her a little bit in the grain line because that was the only thing I could get on AM radio in the grain truck. But that she coined that. Fathers are not sperm donors. Well, they are, but they are more than sperm donors. But let me just say this. Fatherhood is a big thing to contemplate. You don't bear children expecting the lady to take care of them. You don't bear children expecting the government to take care of them. Fathers have a responsibility before God to provide for their families. 1 Timothy 5:7-8, you can look at it because we're short on time, but basically it just says this, he who fails to provide for his family, unless he's not able to legitimately, okay, I'll underline that, is worse than an unbeliever. Got you on that, Melissa. 5:7-8. Yep. And remember this too, folks. For 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. So unless you're unable to do a thing, you have a responsibility to provide for your loving wife and your children. And the last verse of the day. And I like this verse. And I believe it. Even though God's brought me to the edge of the cliff and even let me go over a time or two, but he, like Roadrunner, he always had a branch for me to grab on the way down. But my God shall supply all your needs through his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. My Father supplies those for me. He's the example, folks. It's God. He's the ultimate Father. Lord, help us all in those areas. Here's a conclusion. What adjustments may be needed in fathers and in families here today? I don't want you to tell me. I want you to tell God. And to think about it yourself. You know me, I'm a tinkerer, but not as bad of a tinkerer as my brother Jim. If something isn't running right, he'll say, let's tear the carburetor apart. And I say, let's adjust it. But you know, there might be situations where the carburetor, not literally, but figuratively, does need to be totally torn apart. But there also might be things that can be adjusted to see things fine-tuned for God's glory. You get what I'm saying there? What adjustments may be needed in fathers and families here today to get into alignment with what our Heavenly Father has for us? I'm telling you, I need adjustments. And what better day than Father's Day to get it right? Call your father. Go see your father today if they're still alive. Tell them you love them. Tell them thanks. Well, thanks for what? Well, like we said, you wouldn't be here without him. It's important. What better day to do it than today, right now? What about dads and moms and kids? The whole thing. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's see it fixed. Let's see it for God's glory. This is a Father's Day message. 6 examples how God, our Father in heaven, shows the way for earthly fathers. I'm done, are you? Well, I hope we're not done, but amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able. 669. Now, I don't choose these hymns, but somehow the Holy Spirit has a way to use these. But folks, today, I think the lifeline's been thrown out here today. When it comes to these relationships, the question is what? You can throw a line to people, you can throw a life preserver to people, but it's going to be up to them to what? To take it. Let me give you my best intelligence today. You remember the thing with Aunt Louise and Uncle Cleon and the check, whether it's salvation or anything else. You hear that story before from me? Mm-hmm. Take it. Let's sing. Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother who someone should save. Praise God, Doug.
Yep.
Amen. Praise God. I'll pray with you here later. Amen. Throw out the lifeline, his peril to share. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. We're going to sing that refrain one more time, but the lifeline's out there for the taking. Praise God, one has come here today to do business with the Lord. And I'll be glad to meet with you too, but I'll greet the rest of you at the door. But now's the time, folks. We may never get it again. Here we go. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting today. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Brother Denny, will you close our service in prayer? Please.